And welcome back, everybody, to the Hangout in the Holy Land, the official podcast of LandGrantHolyLand.com, your free premier resource for all things Ohio State news and Ohio State athletics. This is your intrepid host, Land Grant Holy Land Managing Editor Matt Brown. We are recording the show here on the afternoon of Wednesday, March 2nd. You might be listening to this the day after. And there's a lot to talk about. There's been some unexpected Ohio State recruiting news that we've had a chance to write about on Land Grant. Ohio State's basketball team has now come back from the dead, to elevate themselves to just nearly dead. We can talk a little bit more about their postseason hopes. But the big story that's been dominating our website, and if we're being honest, probably what you're most interested in over the last couple of days, has been the NFL Combine, where Ohio State, by my rough approximate numbers, my count as someone who's only really a casual NFL fan, it seems like Ohio State sent about 11 billion people to this Combine, and nearly all of them did exceptionally well. And we've been fortunate that in addition to just following the Combine results here from afar and watching it on TV, we actually had a reporter who was there live and in person and was able to ask questions and be able to get, I think, a more detailed perspective for how Ohio State players did and how they might fit into the landscape. And she was wrote quite a bit about this on Land Grant. And if you are interested at all in the NFL and Ohio State's prospects therein, you should definitely read her articles. But we have a chance here to get a little bit more detailed thoughts. So I'm joined here by our one of our big NFL writers here for Land Grant and SBNation.com, Alexis. Alexis, thanks for taking some time to chat with me.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course, this is like the sixth biggest Ohio State podcast here. So now you're moving up here to the big time.
Nice.
I might ask you a couple of dumb questions because unlike our astute readers, I'm not a huge NFL fan, and so I don't follow the real intricacies of the ins and outs here of everything, of which there's so much minutia. I'd love to talk just a little bit here about what going to this thing was like. I assume that there were just a gajillion other reporters there, right?
Yeah, there was about 1,200, they said, that were credentialed for this year, which is up like 200 or 300 from last year.
Man. I mean, I feel like I've covered multiple college football games where there's full press boxes, and that's like just that difference, that's four press boxes worth. I assume this was a zoo. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your experiences there at the Combine, what it was like actually being there, and maybe some things that you saw or noticed that you weren't able to fit in on the website?
Sure. Yeah, it was definitely busy with media. And what's even more interesting is there were 1,200 people credentialed and only 332 players invited. So
that's a little weird.
But yeah, I was actually really surprised with how busy it was. Media availability starts around 8:30. You can get into the room, and anytime from then to about 5 o'clock, they just roll out players as they get done with their medical evaluations. So some players you would get right away at like 11 a.m. right after their medical evaluations and drug tests. And then some players, if their medical evals didn't go very well, would actually speak the next day because they were held at the hospital for several more hours to do like MRIs and any other tests that coaches were interested in.
So much of this entire experience, beyond just these huge physical tests, there's this whole mental angle here. I can't imagine that right after getting a relatively invasive medical exam, the next thing I have to do is then go out and face 400 microphones and go talk about your MRI or the fact that your hand is a half an inch smaller than what everybody else expected it to be. Did you see anybody who was chippy or maybe was not relishing the media side of this as much? I think that would be justifiable given the circumstances.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even quarterback Paxton Lynch out of Memphis, he had to speak the next day after his medical evals because he, I guess, like fractured his collarbone in college and didn't know about it or something. And so there were like bone flakes floating around and they had to do like extra MRIs. And obviously as a quarterback, coaches were very concerned about that.
That sounds like the worst cereal ever.
Yeah, it really does. And yeah, I mean, some players were, I don't know, snarky, but it just depended on the question. Like Ezekiel Elliott, who's great with the media, he has a great personality. He was asked by someone twice in a row about Derrick Henry. And the first question was, well, you and Derrick Henry are 1 and 2 out of the running backs. And he was like, what's the question? And then I was like, well, have you met Derrick Henry? And he said, yeah. And then just like turned to the other side of the room and kept going. So I don't know that they were so much snippy about after being like poked and prodded, but there were definitely questions or topics that they definitely didn't want to get into.
Let me ask you this, since you've had an opportunity to watch all of these Ohio State players in college multiple times and lots of these other big names in college as well, since you're a big football fan generally, was there anybody either on Ohio State or somewhere else that you felt like your opinion of that player changed dramatically after seeing them at the combine?
Yeah, a little bit. I was impressed by a lot of the, this is the second time I'm going to say it and people give me gruff about it, but punters and kickers are actually very good interviews. They're very personable and they don't get the main stage. So they, you know, they like to just talk about their background and what they're interested in and things like that. And then you had on the other side, like players like Michael Thomas, who grew up around football. I mean, with his uncle, Keyshawn Johnson, like he knows this backward and forward. And yet when he got up to the podium on a bigger stage, he was very succinct with his answers, not in any way like snarky or bad or anything, but just yes, sir. Nope. That's it. I have no concern. Like short, few word answers.
I think we've seen players who are a little bit more loquacious get in trouble, unfortunately. So given how conservative the NFL is, I don't think you can blame somebody for maybe going the more economy of words route.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah. So talking a little bit more, I guess, about what we saw on the field with 40 times and measurements and some of these drills, it seemed like for the most part, Ohio State's players acquitted themselves very nicely. Was there anybody, any of the Ohio State individuals that you had a chance to watch, did any of them exceed your expectations or, in your estimation, greatly exceed the expectations of some of the scouts or NFL personnel there?
Well, I definitely think that some of our defensive players shocked, maybe not like Buckeye fans, but the scouts with Apple and Darren Lee running better 40s than our offense, like or the offensive players who were there. I think that surprised a lot of people, especially given how fast like Ezekiel Elliott and Braxton Miller are. I think other outside people expected them to be much faster than, say, like our linebackers who just blew away the competition.
Yeah, Darren Lee's 40 time was one to beat multiple wide receivers, not just from Ohio State, but I think generally, and I think Eli Apple was up there as well. So I saw quite a few tweets about both those players making themselves a little bit of money over the weekend.
Oh, absolutely. Darren Lee, I think, only had 6 running backs that ran faster than him. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like the ascent of Lee, both, you know, what he was able to do at Ohio State and I think on these boards here never ceases to amaze me. Not that, you know, I don't think he's a highly capable individual, and it just reminds me like how dumb I was, because I've talked about this a couple of times. Like Luke and I thought he was never going to play at Ohio State, you know, coming from a high school that doesn't have super great competition, didn't have a position that seemed immediately clear, wasn't sure what his size situation was, and all he did was become an outstanding playmaker on defense for a championship team, and now could very well be a first-round pick, right?
Absolutely, and what's even crazier is, you know, he definitely got a lot of looks based on his position drills and workout drills, but they even noted in his interviews that he's only been a linebacker for 3 years. Or for 3 seasons. So
yeah.
He's not even a finished product. Like he's totally somebody that you can mold into exactly the type of position or player that you're looking for any of the teams. So the fact that his ceiling is still so much higher, I think he definitely made a lot of money this weekend.
Do you think that there was anybody who did not exceed expectations or would have been considered to have been a disappointment based on their combine experience?
Well, I think people were disappointed perhaps at Braxton Miller's workouts. They were expecting him to be among the best of his position group, even though he is just 1 year in as a receiver, but he wasn't. And his media availability was kind of cocky. Like right after his interview, I overheard 2 or 3 reporters like murmuring under their breath about, well, he's not lacking confidence, or man, he seems cocky. And especially after putting up a not stupendous position drill workout, he might not be in the first round anymore.
I had also seen a couple of people not exactly write the most laudatory things about Jalen Marshall, somebody that perhaps some people were a little bit confused as to why he decided to leave Ohio State early, given Ohio State's dearth of returning wideout options. I'm not necessarily sure that his 40 time or some of the other things that he was able to do over the combine changed a lot of minds, but there is still Ohio State's pro day coming later where many of these players will do some of these similar drills, and I imagine the entire football world is still going to be there.
Oh, absolutely. There will be no shortage of people at Ohio State's pro day. And I don't know, Jalen Marshall was asked a lot about that during his interviews in terms of why do you think you're ready? Did Urban Meyer and the other coaches try and keep you there? To which he replied that they did. I mean, they tried to tell him to stay for another year, but they also supported him in his decision to leave. And I think a lot of these guys are going to have better 40s, but I think they're going to be questioned because people are really finicky about these 40 times. And do you do hand times or digital? When do you start it? Do both feet have to be over the line? It's not black and white, that's for sure.
I think just as a relative outsider to the whole NFL universe, I feel like you could just say people are very finicky, end the quote, and that would describe a lot of things.
I would agree.
Yeah, not that college people aren't finicky. I just think that they're finicky about very different and perhaps weird things.
Yeah, they definitely take something that's potentially very small and blow it up. Like with Goff's hands, like hand size, he measured in at like 8 3/4 inches for his hands. And then all of a sudden he wasn't a first round draft pick and the world is falling apart and everything.
Yeah. I mean, I know this was the situation with Bridgewater, and I'm sure that there is some kind of football executive mindset behind why a quarter inch or a half inch of a hand size would make some big difference in the NFL, you know, all capital letters, but that's not something that's on my particular wavelength for why I enjoy football. I don't know how big anybody's hands are. I assume they could all palm basketballs and dunk, whatever.
Right. And you would also think that if it's such an important stat that these things would be known before the combine. Like,
yeah.
Nobody measured his hands before. Nobody looked at his hands before. It's not like breaking news. He's got small hands.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I know that Donald Trump has little tiny baby hands and can't even, you know, hold an Xbox controller. That's something that people have asked about before. I, you know, it hasn't come up with Jalen Marshall or anything.
No, not quite with them.
One thing I did want to ask you about, because you're going to know a lot more about this than me, is I'm interested in some of the actual team or scheme fit for some of these Buckeyes. Like, you know, all over the internet today, I've heard about some teams really kind of really relatively early in the draft that might want to go take Ezekiel Elliott, for example, who seems to be the general consensus as your top overall running back. You know, so for him, what kinds of NFL teams or what specific NFL teams do you think would be a really good fit for him?
Well, there's a lot of talk today about the Dallas Cowboys being interested in him at number 4, but the alternative is that the Cowboys have one of the best offensive lines in the league. That's why DeMarco Murray was so successful and then went to Philadelphia and did like 20 yards. So do they need to, you know, the question is, do they need to waste such a high draft pick on somebody that they could maybe get like a mid-range running back who could still have success behind that line? But there's a lot of questions right now after the combine as to where people might go. That's for sure.
Another one that I've seen is with Joey Bosa. So throughout the season, a lot of Ohio State fans and people who cover college football kind of assumed that Bosa would be, if not the number one pick, certainly one of the top three picks because of his physicality and disruption along the line. And even after getting double or triple teams, was still able to be reasonably productive. And now it seems that there might be a little bit of a slide for him. Not like pick number 20 slide, but no longer being in contention for those top three picks. Is that something that you've heard? And if so, where do you think he ultimately ends up?
Yeah, he's actually, I've seen him fall out of even the top 5 the last few days, which I do find surprising. If it was up to me, I would draft him number 1 based on his media interview alone. But I don't know, it's a really stacked defensive class, and I think that there are concerns that he's already reached his ceiling. So while his best is really great, if that's as high as he can go, then is he really going to be the best choice? I think teams are sort of looking at potential. And he also didn't have like the straight metrics that people, I guess, were looking for in terms of 40 times and things like that. But when he performed the actual position drills, like in hitting bags and things like that, he looked a lot quicker. So he might be one of those that's just a little bit more hard to pinpoint. But I wouldn't be surprised either if it's like, surprise, they took him at number three. But I think they can get him at a lower pick, and that might be what teams are looking for.
Okay. So if I understand this correctly, you are a big Philadelphia Eagles fan, right?
Yes.
Which Buckeye would you like the Eagles to pick?
All of them.
I mean, I don't know how many draft picks the Eagles have, but it's, I mean, probably.
Honestly, I mean, we signed up a lot. The only Buckeye we currently have is Malcolm Jenkins, who I love. But I think that we could definitely use some secondary help. So I wouldn't rule out an Eli Apple pick, but I would also be happy with a wide receiver. Like Michael Thomas would be really good in an Eagles scheme.
Okay. I guess my last question here, based on what you were hearing at the event and from talking to folks, there's obviously a lot of momentum and press about, I think, the top end of this Buckeye class. There could be 5, 6, 7 players picked in the first round, several of them picked within the top 15, Taylor Decker, Joey Bosa, Ezekiel Elliott, Darren Lee. Is there anybody from Ohio State's class that is maybe not projected to be a top 20 pick that you could still see being a very productive NFL player, a sleeper, if you will?
Yeah, I don't know, I guess, where Nick Vinette is projected to go right now, but he impressed a lot. And the tight end class as a whole isn't exactly impressive this year, with a lot of scouts thinking that they'll go likely in like the third round or so. But Vinette, I think, will be a steal because he's predominantly used as a blocking tight end for the Buckeyes his senior year, and even said in his interviews, I think people forgot that I can catch. So I think he'll be sort of a sleeper in that regard and kind of take off with whatever team he lands.
That's a great point. I feel like for as long as I can remember being a Buckeye fan, people have complained about the tight ends not being utilized efficiently on offense, whether that was from Cooper or Tressel or Urban. But Ohio State just signed 2 elite tight ends, and they're probably going to add another one in this class. So maybe that will change. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you saw from the combine or thoughts that you weren't able to get in your numerous articles here that you want to make sure that everybody is aware of your experience?
Well, the one last thing that I thought was really interesting is you can tell what stories reporters are going to write at the end of the combine because they tend to ask the exact same questions to every player from that school. So I think there was one person who asked every single Buckeye, or especially on the defense, if they could put the silver bullets in the NFL if they would be a successful defense. And then also asked almost every defensive player if, like, what the line would have been like if Noah Spence didn't leave Ohio State.
I mean, that is a good question,
Absolutely. But you can just, it's just funny that you can tell, I guess, what the storylines are or what they're going to be before they're even posted.
My understanding was that Noah Spence did not have the best weekend. Is that accurate?
He did not. And a lot of media people were saying that he dropped a lot and that he didn't do well in the coaches interview or the team interviews. I personally thought he did well with the media, so I don't know, I guess, what teams or scouts were seeing in terms of concerns about his personal life and his character. But they said that with a mediocre performance in the drills, that he just didn't solidify himself as a first round. I mean, I don't think he'll drop that far. He's still a beast on the field, but I guess maybe early second round now is an option.
Well, we'll have to see. And no matter what, hopefully wherever he ends up picking, he's in a stable situation where he's able to move past some of the mistakes that occurred when he was at Ohio State. Alexis, thanks so much here for taking some time to chat with us. Where can the good people on the internet find things that you are writing and writing about?
Well, they can find me on Twitter at LovelyBuckeye and then through Land Grant Holy Land.
Wonderful. All right. Thanks, Alexis. Everyone, be sure if you are even a tiny bit interested in the Ohio State or Ohio State's draft process, you're going to want to make sure that you're taking a look at her articles, because between her and Ian, they are some of the more insightful things I think that you're going to find across our corner of the Buckeye Internet. Thank you so much here for listening. We've got some more articles coming up here over the next couple of days regarding Ohio State basketball's postseason projections, whether that's going to be in the NIT, what they have to do to get in the NCAA tournament, what's happening right now at the Big Ten and the Big Ten tournament. We will have somebody on the scene in Chicago to cover that event for us as well, along with the latest in Ohio State news, because spring practice is just around the corner. It feels like a weird thing to say when it's not actually warm outside, but I hope you enjoyed your offseason because it's going to be over here in a little bit. In the meantime, that's Alexis. I'm Matt. This has been the Hangout in the Holy Land. Thanks for listening, and go Bucks.